Okay, get this. Imagine robots, but not the metal, clunky ones you see in the movies. We're talking robots built from living cells.
It's wild, right? This is the future of AI we're diving into today, where biology and technology get seriously weird. In a good way, of course.
Seriously cool stuff. And we're drawing from some pretty awesome sources today. Keynotes and presentations from CVPR 2024, a huge computer vision conference.
Yeah, some of the brightest minds in AI and robotics are there, pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
So our mission today, to break down this idea of embodied AI, we want to understand what happens when we take AI out of the digital world and give it a physical form.
And what that really means, because it's a game changer. Right now, AI is mostly stuck in the digital world, right?
Like ChatGPT can write a poem, but it can't make you a cup of tea, right?
Exactly. And it's not just tea-making skills that are missing. AI struggles with basic things we take for granted, common sense, understanding cause and effect.
Because it has no hands to actually make the tea or experience those cause and effect moments for itself.
Precisely. It lacks what we call embodiment, a physical presence in the world. And that's a huge hurdle for AI right now.
So how do we fix that? Do we give AI a crash course in being human?
In a way, yes. Researchers are exploring how to embody AI by actually giving it a physical form, something to interact with the world.
Okay, so we're talking robots then, but not like the clunky factory
Not
robots.
quite. We're talking robots built from dot frog cells.
Frog cells? Wait, are you serious?
Totally. These xenobots are causing a stir in the research world. They're living, moving organisms designed by AI and built using actual frog cells.
Okay, hold on. Back up a bit. We're building robots from scratch at the cellular level.
Yep. And it's even more mind-blowing than it sounds. Imagine the structural properties of skin cells combined with the movement of heart muscle cells. That's basically what makes up a xenobot.
So, tiny pulsating blobs of frog cells.
Essentially, yeah. But here's where it gets really cool. Researchers use AI, specifically a type called a genetic algorithm, to actually design these xenobots.
Genetic algorithm. So, like how Spotify knows what music I like?
Not exactly the same, but you've got the right idea. Algorithms can learn and adapt. This one's inspired by natural selection. It tests thousands of virtual xenobots, searching for designs that allow them to move in specific ways.
So the AI is like the architect drawing up the blueprint.
Exactly. Then scientists take those blueprints and use microscopic tools to arrange these tiny cells according to the AI's design.
That's insane. It's like performing surgery on a grain of sand.
It's incredibly precise work. But here's the thing. These xenobots, they're not just microscopic lab experiments. They can actually do some pretty amazing things.
Okay, like what? They're moving around, but what else can they actually do?
Well, for one, they can move in different ways, walking, swimming, even working together in groups.
So it's not random. The AI is actually designing them for specific movements.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just movement. They've been observed pushing small objects, almost like miniature cleaners. And get this, some have even shown a limited form of self-replication.
Wait, self-replication, like making copies of themselves, microscopic robot factories.
In a way, yeah. But what's even crazier is they're doing all of this, sensing, reacting to their environment without brains or nervous systems. Like, what even defines sensing in these things? It's blowing our minds.
Okay, that's seriously cool. Tiny, self-assembling, self-replicating robots. So we've got these microscopic robots cleaning, building, maybe even starting a tiny robot revolution. Who knows? But let's zoom out for a second. Why does all of this even matter? Why should we care about these little frog cell robots?
That's the question, right? It's because xenobots represent something much bigger. They're pushing the boundaries of what we thought robots could be.
Okay, I'm listening.
Think about it. Microscopic robots delivering drugs with incredible accuracy, cleaning up pollution, repairing things from the inside out. That's the potential here.
Sign me up for a biobot repair crew. My knees could use some of that.
We're not quite there yet, but you see what I mean. This isn't sci-fi anymore. We're talking about using biology to create completely new solutions to big problems.
Okay, yeah, the potential benefits are huge. But this is also giving me some, like, Black Mirror vibes, you know? What about the downsides? We have to be thinking about that, right?
Absolutely. Every new technology comes with risks, making sure these biobots are used responsibly, that they don't accidentally mess up the environment. These are all things researchers are working on.
Right, so it's like, how do we unlock this crazy potential without unleashing a swarm of microscopic terrors on the world?
Exactly. It's about being smart and responsible about it, asking those tough ethical questions right alongside the exciting scientific ones.
Totally. But before we get too deep into the ethics, I want to shift gears for a bit. Let's talk about another area where AI is blending the digital and physical AI-generated art.
Right, where the algorithms become the artists. It's a perfect example of this embodiment idea we've been discussing.
Really? Because when I think AI art, I think those cool, trippy images online, not something physical like a robot.
That's the thing. Think of it like this. AI art takes something purely digital, an algorithm, and gives it a voice in the physical world through a painting, a sculpture, something we can experience with our senses.
Oh, okay, I get it. It's like AI is using art to interact with the real world, even if it's through a screen.
Exactly. And there's this artist, Sofia Crespo, who's doing some really incredible work in this space.
Sofia Crespo. Wait, I think I've heard that name.
She's known for these stunning, almost surreal images of nature, plants, animals, insects, all generated using AI.
Okay, no, I definitely need to see this. So how does she do it? Is she like showing the AI a bunch of nature shows and saying, okay, now make me art?
It's more complex than that. She trains these AI models on tons of images, thousands, even millions, then uses these advanced techniques like neural style transfer to create something totally new.
Neural style transfer. That sounds intense. What's happening there?
Imagine blending the style of, say, a Van Gogh painting with those thick brushstrokes with a photograph of a sunflower. That's kind of what neural style transfer does. It merges the style of one image with the content of another.
So the AI is remixing images, making something totally new from existing parts. That's wild. But you were saying Sofia Crespo uses this to create art inspired by nature.
Yes. And it goes beyond just making cool pictures. She's trying to raise awareness about biodiversity loss, the impact we're having on the natural world. She's using her AI art to make a statement.
I love that art as activism. How does she actually do that, though? Is it like sad images of endangered species or something?
One of her most interesting projects is called Neural Zoo. It's this collection of these bizarre, fantastical creatures, almost like out of a medieval book, but with this modern digital twist.
Medieval creatures meet AI. Okay, I'm into it. What kind of modern twist are we talking?
Like a beetle with wings like stained glass, or a fish with scales that shimmer like opals. They're both familiar and completely alien at the same time.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely a modern twist. It's like taking these ancient myths and reimagining them for the digital age. But how does this raise awareness about biodiversity?
She intentionally uses incomplete data when training the AI, especially with endangered species. It's about highlighting how much we don't know, how many pieces of the puzzle are missing.
Wow, that's clever. By showing us what we don't know, she's making us realize what we stand to lose.
Exactly. And it's a message that's resonating. Her work has been shown all over the world, getting people talking about biodiversity and how technology can help us understand and protect our planet.
That's awesome. Sofia Crespo is definitely one to watch. But you said her work ties back to the robotics stuff we talked about earlier.
It all comes down to embodiment. Those lifelike creatures she creates. It's like she's exploring what it means for AI to have a physical presence, but through art.
Right, like she's bridging the gap between the digital and physical, helping us connect with these creatures, even if they only exist digitally.
And just like those frag cell robots are changing what robots can be, her work is changing what art can be. It's blurring the lines between creation and simulation.
It's deep stuff. Like, what does it even mean to create life, even if it's artificial?
Definitely makes you think. And it shows how these advances in AI aren't just changing what's possible, they're changing how we see ourselves and our place in this increasingly blurry world where the real and the virtual are practically inseparable.
Whoa, that's a lot to process. But speaking of pushing boundaries, what about those protein-powered nanobots we touched on earlier? I'm dying to know more about AI designing machines at that scale.
Well, just like it can design a xenobot or create a piece of art, AI can also design the very building blocks of life itself, proteins.
Wait, proteins? Like the stuff that builds our muscles and, well, everything. AI can design those now.
It's true. And this could change everything from medicine to how we build things. It's a whole new world of protein engineering powered by AI.
Okay, color me intrigued. But how does it even work? Does the AI put on a little lab coat and start mixing chemicals?
Not exactly. It's about understanding how proteins work, those intricate structures that determine what they do. It's like AI is learning to read the recipe book of life.
So instead of baking a cake, it's baking.proteins. What kind of protein recipes are we talking about?
Some pretty incredible stuff. For example, AI is being used to design new proteins that could be like super targeted drugs, delivering treatments right where they're needed without messing with healthy cells.
Microscopic smart bombs taking out the bad guys. That's awesome.
Exactly. That's just the start. We're talking about more effective vaccines, longer lasting, easier to get to people, huge implications.
Okay, yeah, that's a game changer, especially after everything that's happened recently. But you mentioned sustainability too. How do proteins play into that?
Enzymes. They're like natural catalysts speeding up chemical reactions. And AI can design these enzymes to do some pretty incredible stuff.
Okay, like what?
We're talking about breaking down pollution, capturing carbon dioxide from the air, even creating clean energy, all using specially designed enzymes.
So AI is designing tiny little environmental heroes. That's awesome.
It's a perfect example of how we can use AI to tackle those huge global challenges we're facing.
It's mind-blowing when you really think about it. AI designing robots, art, proteins. The future is getting wild.
It really is. But, and I know we keep coming back to this, we have to remember that with every powerful tool, we need to be careful. There are downsides, ethical things to consider. It's not all sunshine and roses.
Right, of course.
What are some of the big questions we need to be asking as we move further into this AI-driven world?
A big one is making sure this tech is used responsibly and that everyone benefits. We don't want to worsen existing inequalities or leave anyone behind. Equity and access are huge.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't need an AI-powered world that only works for a select few. What else?
I think the biggest thing is that we need to keep having these conversations. The ethical questions around AI are only going to get more complex as it evolves.
So it's not just about what AI can do, it's about what it should do.
Exactly. It's about making sure these incredibly powerful tools align with our values, that we're using them to build the future we actually want for everyone.
Couldn't agree more. As we wrap up this incredible look at AI, what's the one big takeaway you hope listeners are left with? I think the main thing is this. AI isn't some far-off thing anymore. It's here, it's now, and it's changing everything. How we live, work, interact with the world, even what it means to be human.
And as we've seen today, from those frog cell robots to AI-designed proteins, these changes are happening in ways we never could have imagined, blurring the lines between the digital and physical, the natural and artificial.
And as we explore this uncharted territory, it's on us to do it responsibly, ethically, with a focus on using these incredible technologies to make the world a better place for everyone.
Well said. Thanks for joining me on this wild ride into the world of AI. And to everyone listening, stay curious, keep asking those tough questions, and let's build the future we want to see together.